Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We are going back to basics this morning. So do look at the screen. The screen is supposed to have pictures that are going to help you to think about some of the stuff that you may already know in a little bit more detail. So we're going to start with John chapter 10, verse 27, just a very short verse, and it says this. Sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, I don't know how you feel about being known. There are some people we simply wouldn't tell our deepest, darkest secrets to for fear of it being used against us or maybe of being judged. But actually, when we are fully known by someone that we trust, it is very freeing. It helps us to feel safe and secure. It gives us a sense of belonging and acceptance because we know that we are loved, warts and all. And that is how God loves us. We don't need to try and be someone we are not because he knows us and he loves us anyway. Our whole identity can be found in him rather than in anything that the world tries to sell us. We are his and we are safe. But we have a choice to make. The sheep choose to follow Jesus. They are not forced to. They have learned that he can be trusted. So they choose to follow. They don't need to be herded. Becoming a Christian isn't about choosing a religion, it's about choosing to have a relationship with a God who loves us through Christ. The Bible gives us example after example of how God has reached out to mankind over the ages again and again and again. He's not some distant figure sitting on a fluffy cloud. He wants to have a relationship with us. And the Bible promises that if we really want a relationship with God, then we can have one. If we reach out to him, he promises to be there. If we set our hearts on building a relationship with God, then he honours that. But how can we have a relationship with an invisible God? How can we hear the voice of someone who cannot be seen? Well, God recognises that he's quite a mind-blowing figure for us to understand, so he sent his son to earth to live just as we do. He arrived as a baby following a pregnancy to his mum Mary and his stepdad Joseph. He was even a teenager. And the more we find out about Jesus, the more we will understand and get to know who God is. Now, the Bible's made up of lots of books, as I'm sure you know, but four of them talk specifically about Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're a great place to start if you want to get to know him. Now, maybe you're not a great reader, and the thought of reading such a big book worries you or possibly sends you to sleep. Don't be put off. There are lots of different sorts of Bibles out there. Got a big selection here for you can see. If you want a good overview of the Bible, come and have a look at a children's book, a children's Bible, and that will give you some of the main stories so that you can understand them. And there are lots of different versions to reflect the different sorts of language that we've used. And as our language changes, we reflect that in the different versions of the Bible. So I grew up working through the Good News Bible. That was what I grew up with. I now prefer the New Living Version, which is over here. But I'm currently working my way through a colouring Bible so that I can read bits of the Bible and then colour it in as I think about what God's been saying to me. And that's in the Modern English Version, which I must admit I'm struggling with, but the colouring side's working, so we're sticking with it. And the Bible's not written in the order that things happened, just to confuse us. So there is also a chronological Bible, which is written in the order that things happened, and I found that was a really useful one to help me understand exactly how it all fits together. And then, of course, there's study Bibles and Bible notes and guides that can help you make sense of what you've read. And, of course, there's Google, which is a really big assistance. And God really speaks through his word. Some verses just jump out at you, talking into your situation. And all of it helps you to get to know who God really is, not who we think he is. And sometimes that's quite a different thing. And nowadays, we don't just have books. There are podcasts, YouTube channels, TV channels, Christian radio, Christian audiobooks on all sorts of subjects, the internet. Don't be scared to use them, especially if you find reading challenging. You can also learn about God by talking to other Christians. There are lots of things, if you don't understand or you're struggling with, get together with another Christian, go to a discipleship group, go to your youth group, say to your youth leader or your discipleship group leader, I don't get it, and have a discussion with your group to see if you can work out what it is you're grappling with, and that will build your relationship with God. Don't be scared to ask those big questions. And I would also encourage you to teach. If you have to try and work something out well enough to tell it to somebody else, then you really learn and grow as you do it. And so have a go at leading a discipleship group or leading a Sunday flight group. Speak to Paul and Michelle. They'll give you all the support you need to make that happen. But it's a really good way of developing your own relationship with God. Now, does anybody know who this is? Jiminy Cricket. What has that got to do with the Bible, I hear you say? Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's conscience, wasn't he? And Pinocchio didn't have a conscience because he was made of wood. But Jiminy Cricket helped him to work out the difference between right and wrong. And the Holy Spirit is a bit like Jiminy Cricket. We need to listen to his whispers and to learn to hear his voice. Now, we may not actually hear a little voice in our ear like Jiminy Cricket, but sometimes we just feel that prompting, don't we? We're going to do something naughty that we know is not quite right, and you just get this feeling of, oh, shouldn't be doing this. Or maybe you see something, you think, I've got to act on this. There's something that I should be doing here. Again, that's the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something and to take action. And sometimes the Holy Spirit talks through other ways, maybe stirring our feelings or giving us a sensation of being touched or of feeling warm or of tears. And we need to learn to take note of those feelings and then dare to follow them. The more we practice listening to that voice and those promptings, the better we'll get at recognising him. Some people particularly feel the Holy Spirit working in them or talking to them when they're singing or worshipping God. And worship can give you a really strong sense of coming into God's presence. And again, you may not hear a physical voice, but God is still speaking to you. Our best relationships are with people that we have spent time talking with. We can talk to God at any time of day, in any place, about anything and everything. So try signing up for a slot on the 24-hour prayer weekend. There are lots of things in the room. You may think an hour. My goodness, that's a long time. There are lots of things in that room that help you to engage with God. So give it a go. And every time I've gone, I've been shocked at how fast an hour goes. You might even find you want to start signing up for more than 1 hour because it just goes so quickly. Sheep flock together, and God gave us church so that we can do just that. He talks through his people, hugs through his people, loves through his people. As church, we are family, we are brothers and sisters, called to look out for each other and to share in each other's difficult times and also in our joy. And God gave us church because he knows we need to belong and we need to be encouraged. It's another way that he speaks to us. Now this morning, God's challenge to you is to step out in faith and follow him. Now when I was 13, I did some abseiling. And I was told that you hold your rope in one hand and that would gradually lower you to the ground, and that with the other hand I should hold on to my harness and that would keep you securely in your harness. So that's what I did. But something went very horribly wrong and I ended up upside down with my back against the wall, my legs in the air, hanging on the end of this rope. And the instructor looked a little bit alarmed. He looked like he'd never come across a situation like this before either. And he said, give me your hand. And I thought, no. Because if I let go of this hand, I'm whizzing towards the ground attached to the rope. And if I let go of this hand, I'm whizzing towards the ground not attached to the rope. And none of them sound like a good idea. And he was quite flummoxed what to do. Eventually, I was encouraged to give him my hand and he got me back up. But it was quite a scary moment. I had to dare to let go of my safety ropes and trust the instructor. And maybe God is calling you to do the same thing this morning. Maybe there are things that you're holding on to that simply aren't working. Maybe there's coping mechanisms, thoughts, bad habits, social media, whatever it is that's holding you back and stopping your relationship with him. And God is calling you to let go of them and to take his hand instead. God longs for us to follow him because he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. It's not about rules and regulations, it's about relationship. So be creative in how you spend your time with him. Don't beat yourself up thinking, gosh, I can't do this for hours. Start small. Be creative. Do what works for you. create space for God to talk to you. That's the important thing, because if you create the space, then you will hear him and he will speak to you and you will hear what he wants to say to you. I just want you to really think about whether there is something that God is calling you to let go of. What safety ropes are you holding on to? What things are getting in the way of your relationship with God? And dare to let go of them, because God really wants to reach out to you and to take those things from you this morning.